man's introduction needs no flare or flash. I am Berkman F., and with me...
And I helped.
You're not helping.
Your mom isn't... Nah. So anyways, hello everyone.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, I went there.
You are failed.
That's debatable. Anyway, hello everyone out there in Internet Radio Land. I'm Bobcat, and with me as always...
I've already introduced myself.
Yes, Burke, yes you have. So, first off, as you may have noticed, it's been about a month since our last update. This is because of unavoidable computer problems. My hard drive died rather spectacularly on the December 26th, ruined Boxing Day quite effectively.
It wanted to wait till after Christmas, you know, not to bring down the holiday.
Right. Of course, it waited until 15 minutes after Christmas had ended, but it was at least a little bit thoughtful.
I could have made it sooner if you'd like.
So are you going to do that voice the whole review?
Tell me why not.
Touché. So, today we're looking at Heat Guy J, which Burke chose for us. For those of you who are listening in for the first time, here at the 5-Point Podcast, we look at shows based on 5 different characteristics. We have first impression, story, characters, presentation, and final thoughts. So let's get this on the road and talk about our first impression. Burke, what did you expect going into this?
Can't say I expected too much. The art for the main character was who I assumed was the main character. Looked a little bit odd, but I was willing to give it a chance, and I was vaguely excited based off of what little I read, though it reminded me of an older Japanese live-action show.
I was kind of similar. I think I had read a review of it ages and ages ago. I thought it was Professor Otaku, but before reviewing, I looked it up, and no, he never looked at Heat Guy J, so I have no idea whose review I was looking at. But I had...
May have been dust in the wind.
But I was, you know, I was vaguely excited about it.
Especially after the last two.
Right, this is the first one that I actually went into it thinking that it would be anything great. So, first impression, we were both looking forward to this thing. Especially after a 3-week hiatus between reviews.
Yeah.
Now, what is this show about? Point two, the story.
That was awkward. The story of Heat Guy J is that of a lonely city in the far future, and maybe an alternate reality. It's not exactly well-defined. It's generic Blade Runner City number 22, only this one has, well, okay, it's generic Blade Runner City number 22. Because it also has a giant, well, not giant, well, traditional giant, like 7-foot-tall robot. His name, I have forgotten.
His name is Jay. Now, Jay is teamed up with two humans named Dice and Kyoko, and together they are a special team on the police force. I'm not quite sure what their overall mission is. There's only 3 of them, and they're supposed to prevent crime before it happens by finding out about it. It's kind of giving me Minority Report flashbacks, but you know, it's something like that. I almost wonder if the dub was just poorly translated.
From what I can tell, they mostly look at ongoing cases and figure out a way to stop them before they come to a head. Such as in the second episode, where a villain, who we'll get to later, with a very silly name, created napalm and was going to napalm a part of the city. They figured it out and stopped it from happening. However, that does not exactly gel with what their team description is called. And frankly, if they were really going to live up to their title as crime prevention before it happens, they should probably murder all of the mafia dons who they know.
And know personally. In fact, Dice has lunch with one of them on a regular basis. Though, I suppose it's up to debate whether he knows that the guy is a crime boss.
We'll save that for characters.
So, it's a very episodic show. From what I can understand, there's a little bit of a continuous story in it, but it isn't really building up to anything aside from, you know, it's just like, it's a police drama, but with a cyborg.
Set in vague future time.
Yes.
But the thing of it is, this is just from us watching the first three episodes. We don't know anything past that. So if it does start to get a plot, well, it's not exactly present here.
Right.
As it was, as concepts, these first three episodes weren't all that bad. At least the first two weren't. And it introduced a fair amount of originality in this world, including the were-people murderers.
Yeah. Well, one thing I noticed about this is that it was made by the same person who did... created by the person who created Visions of Escaflowne, which I figured it out before I even looked it up because of the noses some of the characters had. He has a very distinct way of drawing noses. But there's a similar sort of attitude here where Escaflowne was a medieval fantasy story with giant mecha. The guy just seems to have a attitude of throw everything you can into a work.
As long as it involves a robot.
Right. So, story. There isn't really much to go on. In fact, it occurs to me that the last couple of things, we had a lot more to say for story, even though those shows were even more episodic than this.
I can explain that, actually. And it could work in this show's favor, but frankly, we have no way of knowing right now. Those shows, they had to throw everything they could, because they had a smaller time frame and less episodes. This show is building up to something. It's building up its characters, it's building up its world, it's building up its plot. The problem is, it's a slow build, it's a slow burn. So if you don't like that, you're going to run into some problems.
Speaking of problems, let's move on to Section 3, Characters.
Oh, goody.
Now, you might get the impression from the box art, the title of this show, and thinking that, hey, people want to watch a show about a cyborg, that Heat Guy Jay would be the main character.
And he's a pretty cool character, all things considered. The problem is, he is not your main character. No, the wimpy, skinny, bishonen, blonde, scrappy, annoying sidekick is the main character.
I'm looking at my notes right now. I wrote, they are failing so hard to make Dice a lovable asshole. That is very clearly what their design idea for him was. He'll be that character who, even though he's a jerk sometimes, is a jerk in a funny and lovable way. Like Han Solo, for instance.
You're the Star Wars geek.
Okay, or Indiana Jones.
I've never seen Indiana Jones.
Okay, then I can't think of a good... I guess any Harrison Ford character will do.
Sorry.
Okay, he's trying to be the Fonz. How about that? He's trying to be the guy who...
No, he's not.
Okay, fine. I can't think of a good example. My whole life is a sham. I'm sorry.
I told you already. You have already failed.
But, okay, well, for a more anime example, he's trying to be like Ranma from Ranma One Half, I guess is the first one that comes to mind, of the character who...
That is also a terrible comparison. But,
well, let me explain. Ranma was a smart-mouthed jerk. He would insult people all the time, and yet, on some level, you couldn't help but like him, because he had enough good points, and he did demonstrate good qualities like stealthlessness and...
Stealthlessness?
And such.
I think you meant selflessness.
I said selflessness.
You said stealthlessness.
Well, he was kind of stealthless. Enough talking about characters I like, let's talk about Dice. Daisuke, a.k.a. Dice. Dice is... Well, Burke described him well. He, in any well-made show, he would be the comedic relief. He'd be the comedic relief who he hated. And most of the episode would be about Jay. And then Dice would get kidnapped, and Jay would have to save him.
I don't exactly agree with that, if only because you could also play him just as a secondary character who goes off and does his own things. Maybe he's just the, well, side character, the side point of view, The problem with this blonde douchebag, the problem with him, is that he is not our secondary character. He's not our secondary point of view. He's our primary point of view. He's our only point of view. Because what should be our main character, the android, the one known as Jay,
the title character,
is around for about maybe 5 minutes an episode.
And that's a pretty generous estimate.
Usually standing on a rooftop, posing like a man, hair blowing in the wind. More on that later.
So I think my favorite, well, quote-unquote favorite, dice asshole moment is in the third episode, they're fighting a Mad Bomber character who they never actually see.
Ever.
Nope. In fact, the Mad Bomber has no character. From a plot point of view, the buildings might as well be spontaneously combusting.
There's more to the story, but frankly, we'd rather not get into the sleaziness.
At least not yet. So Dice is about to get blown up by a bomb. Jay throws himself on top of the bomb and takes the blast meant to level the whole building for Dice. And as Jay is being wheeled away by the people who are going to repair him, Jay looks at Dice and gives him a thumbs up. Dice returns the thumbs up, then smirking like this is the greatest joke in the world, gives him a thumbs down. As if to say, yeah, you saved my life. Screw you.
For the record, Jay was in this episode less than any other episode.
Out of the first three, at least.
He was in this for roughly 3 minutes. 2 of those minutes were lying on a table.
Yeah. And what I find particularly amusing about Dice is that, you know, obviously the writers assumed that we would sympathize and like him. I mean, why else would you make this guy our main character? It's not like he has a particularly interesting point of view. Thanks to him, we learned that androids like Jay are banned from the city, and that an android killed his father. So I guess that was their attempt to make him sympathetic. Oh my gosh, why is he working on a team with someone who he associates with the people who killed his father? That's deep. No, there's no real indication of depth here.
Especially given just... This is really awkwardly put together, because the first episode feels like episode 5. It doesn't feel like a proper introduction to the characters or the story. It feels like we're being dropped in the middle of an adventure, and no one's bothering to even give us a hint at what's going on.
Right. And looking this up, if Wikipedia is to be believed, and when is Wikipedia not to be believed, there was a manga based on this, but it came out after the anime was already finished. So it's not like there was an existing fan base who would already know everything.
Maybe there was a video game.
Yeah, this would be a pretty good setting for a video game, actually.
Still, we must move on.
Dice, we hate him. We wish the show wasn't about him. Let's move on to Jay.
I can't say I hate him too much, but I am very disappointed. At least he's not generic.
I don't know, a generic character would be nicer.
We already went through 2 generic characters. I am bored of them.
Alright, so now let's actually talk about Jay, the supposed main character.
He is a man. He is a man with a hat and a coat.
Yes. He dresses like a noir detective, sort of.
Only he really needs to shave his sideburns, because they are ridiculous.
Actually, I think they've gotten away from being sideburns and become full-blown mutton chops.
Probably. But the thing about his character is, he is a man. That is his character. In a good anime, he would be the main character, and need nothing else. Sadly, this is mediocre at best.
Jay is an android. Now, the reason he's called Heat Guy is that when he exerts himself for a long period of time, he needs to let off steam. So, out from his coat pop these 2 nozzles that put out way more steam than he should be able to store in his body as water.
Which makes me wonder if he's steam-powered. It's never explained. Nor is it really... It's really kind of stupid.
It looks cool, though. It doesn't make sense from an engineering point of view, but it is a unique way to give the character a signature And also, they could use it later as a weakness. Like, he builds up heat very quickly, so he won't be as good in a long fight.
Not that we would know this, because in the first three episodes, no one can put up a thing against him, except explosives.
Yeah. He runs into another android, but Daisuke managed to half-kill that android. So I don't put much stock in that as a good show of Heat's power, of Jay's powers.
Jay just punched the android's face in.
The other android spent half the fight running away.
Yeah, half the fight that ended with face-punching. Because Jay is a man.
Yes, he's always saying things like, "A man's appearance is his own business."
His voice may or may not be why I am talking like this.
Alright, so the last of the three main characters, is in the characters we see every time, is...
She's a pink-haired girl, that is all.
Right, well, this would be a good chance to talk a little bit about the sleaziness you wanted to avoid earlier. So the thing about Kyoko is...
She's a pink-haired girl, that is all.
She is so generic. She's the secretary for them. She's always harassing implies that she's wrong. She's always telling Daisuke, "Hey, you're 3 weeks late on your paperwork." And Dice, being a douchebag, is all, "Eh."
She's a pink-haired girl. I refuse to justify this anymore.
Yeah, she is every stick-in-the-mud female secretarial character in any anime ever.
Only with pink-haired girl running through her veins.
Except that she's kind of an embarrassment to generic pink-haired girls, because the other generic pink-haired girls we've run into so far had much more personality.
Well, let's be fair, Nanako's pink-haired girl wasn't a generic pink-haired girl. That was just a description of her. This is a pink-haired girl.
Yeah. The closest she gets to a character moment is, in the third episode, the bit of sleaziness that Burke wanted to avoid was...
No, we're not going there. I refuse.
Okay, fine. We'll just say that Kyoko has some self-esteem issues that Dice does not help at all.
I am trying to keep my hate at a minimum here, and I refuse to speak of the episodes that do not have a man in them.
Okay.
A short list of the, well, the main villain of the show, from what we can tell anyways, is the Mafia Don Vampire...
Claire Leonelli.
Thank you for actually picking up on that.
Well, one cool thing about Claire in the dub is that he's voiced by Johnny Young Bosch, who you may remember...
We'll get to this in part four.
Fine. That makes me like him a lot more. The thing about Claire is that, I have one of my notes, he was the Heath Ledger Joker 6 years early.
Kind of, yeah. Though he's not as mature, and you get the feeling that he's way more unhinged.
Yeah. The fact, the first scene of the first episode is more about him than it is about Jay and Dice.
The second episode.
No, it was the first episode. Because the first episode opens with the funeral of Claire's father.
Yes, but he doesn't really do much outside of throw a grenade.
Well, I think that's pretty distinctive. I mean, the guy is at his father's funeral. There are all the other mob bosses there laying to rest the vampire, which is their term for the person who's the head of the crime family. Don't get why that is. To rest.
Along with Don. The Don title is still there.
Yeah.
It's just, the Supreme Don is vampire, apparently.
And so you have Claire there, obviously distraught over his father's death. And what does he do? He whips out a grenade and tries to throw it down the grave at his father. You always liked fireworks, Dad!
That was a terrible representation of his voice.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't really trying to represent his voice. I was just trying to throw...
That was terrible.
I'm sorry.
You should be.
Fine. You always liked fireworks, Dad?
No.
Well, that was at least closer.
No.
You always stifle me, Burke.
Yes.
So, that's Claire. His reaction to his father's death is to blow up his father's corpse. He is also involved very closely in the best episode of the first three, which is the second one. As we glossed over in the first part, the technology in this world seems to be all over the place. You could easily believe that this was supposed to be 20 years in the future.
Except apparently gasoline is impossible to find, which makes me wonder what their cars run on.
Yeah, gasoline is described as an ancient artifact. Yeah, its thing is that the clothes look pretty much modern, the cars look pretty much modern, the guns look pretty much modern. Up until gasoline was described as an ancient artifact, the only thing that would not have quite fit in a show set 10 years into the future is Jay. And that's just because of how advanced he is.
He even might. It's actually the Bond douchebag's car.
Well, a motorcycle. It's a really ridiculous motorcycle. It looks like he should be playing card games on that thing.
It's retarded. It's the only way to describe it properly. Anyways, continue.
So Claire smuggles a bunch of gasoline in. The episode had a pretty good mystery going because there were bits that, a good mystery, you should be able to figure out the pieces ahead of time, and someone who is particularly clever might have been able to do that. But basically, what we know to start is that there's some sort of flu bug going around because a lot of people have been coughing lately, and people have been calling in to the police about strange odors. Then Dice learns about the shipment of smuggled gasoline. What Claire has been doing, because he's trying to wipe out another crime family, because he's, well, unhinged, is he's been refining this ancient gasoline into napalm to try and blow up a big chunk of the city to take the crime family with it.
So basically he's going to kill them with fire.
Fire!
Another indication, actually, I think that...
Why did that hurt my throat more?
I think that Claire, more than any other character, is what forced us to realize, this is set in the very distant future.
Something.
Because, well, we know it's at least 100 years in the future, because a couple of the minions that Claire hires to guard the napalm truck are, they've had their faces modified to look like, I can't remember whether they were dogs or cats. I think it was dogs.
One of them was a jackal, maybe?
Yes, yeah, so some sort of canine, but...
They're beast men now.
Yes, because apparently their solution... When a prisoner is sentenced to more than 100 years in prison, they modify their face to look like an animal. Because, giving the prisoner sharp fangs is a perfect way to make them more controllable.
And apparently it also increases their physical abilities 12 times.
And either they escaped or they're still alive after a century.
Yes.
Nice thinking there. So if I commit murder, I get to become an immortal? Well, it'd be a hideous beast man. But I'll be an immortal, super strong badass. Well, yes.
Do I get to choose my animal?
Today all we have are koalas and panda bears.
Then I'm going to break out until you get a Komodo dragon.
Yeah, it's... When I said earlier that it's like they threw in everything they could think of into this world, that's what I mean. Dice is attacked by one of the beast men, and Jay just calmly informs him, prisoners who have been... sentenced more than 100 years in prison are modified to look like that.
This is what I meant before about how these episodes are mainly about building the world. They also mentioned that this is a new era, whatever that's supposed to mean, so we really have no idea how far in the future this is set.
Or if it's even our reality, as Burke pointed out earlier. But we've gotten a little off topic. This is stuff we should have brought up under plot, but it's...
Anyways, Claire is a psychopath who made napalm because he didn't like someone.
Yes, and he didn't care how many people died. So as far as a main villain goes, Claire is pretty dang imposing.
He's shaping up to be good, yes.
In fact, he's probably my favorite character in the show, aside from a couple of floozy characters.
Which actually makes me wonder, why isn't he arrested yet? The main characters know who he is. They watched the funeral. Why is there a mafia? Is it legally allowed to have a mafia in the city? Is that a legal thing now?
Is the rest of the police department really, really corrupt? Because it's certainly possible.
Sink! Right. Moving right along, we have some other characters to get to. Most notably, Shogun, the Floozies, and the Detective.
And Antonia, because you like Antonia.
I enjoy the idea of what she could have brought to the show. Sadly, she did not, and they did not explore this. So it can go to hell.
Right. Antonia is a scientist who is explicitly based on actress Monica Bellucci, who you may remember from the Matrix sequels as the Merovingian's wife, or girlfriend, or whatever she was.
I've never seen the Matrix movies.
You're not missing out on much. But anyway, that's what I know her from. And she is a scientist who seems to really, really, really like Jay.
For what reason, we do not yet know, beyond the fact that he is a man.
Right, and Dice has a creepy
crush. We need not go there.
And all we know about her is that she likes robots, she's exceedingly hardworking. I think she was described as being on her feet for 36 hours when Jay needed some repairs.
Jay commented on the fact because he is a man. Jay will also compliment any fine ladies because he is a man.
And he's been programmed to, when he looks over a woman, there's a green overlay that flashes over parts of their body. I wonder what would happen if he ran into someone who was exceptionally ugly.
Because
it does seem like he's analyzing them first.
Might show up red. Because he is a man.
Okay, next up there's Shogun, who... We mentioned earlier that Dice has lunch with somebody who has ties to the Mob family. That's Shogun.
Your lies. Okay, we probably did. Doesn't mean I'm not going to insult you, though.
Right. So, Shogun, he's a sort of typical old man character. He says that he's retired from the Mob, but he's still treated with a lot of respect. And we don't know yet whether Dice knows that his contact is a former Mob boss.
I think he does, because he's not that stupid. I would hope he does. So it's not like the Mob is, you know, secret or anything. They're practically public servants.
Yeah, Shogun serves mostly as an information resource. He makes it so that Dice knows where to go to get in trouble so that Jay can show up and save him. In fact, Shogun may be secretly trying to kill Dice.
That would be hilarious.
If he was, Shogun just became my favorite character. Last on the list of characters who have names is Ken Edmundo, who is... Another character like him is, if you ever watched Batman the Animated Series, Detective Bullock.
I will say in his favor, though, he's a lot softer around the edges than Bullock.
Yeah, but basically his job is to be the one who's suspicious of the whole special operation team that Jay and Dice are on. And when Dice shows up, he yells at Dice a lot.
Yeah. They do get along in Episode 3, but we're not going into that.
Right. Burke is not fond of Episode 3. I think it's just the ultimate example of why Dice is a jerk who I don't like.
We're not going there.
And the last character is really three characters who don't have names and are basically interchangeable.
They're the same character.
They're the Floozies, who I mentioned mostly because they got more screen time than Jay did in some episodes.
Yes, especially Episode 3. It is a wonder I do not like Episode 3.
It's not clear whether they're girls who just happen to have a crush on Dice, whether they're strippers, prostitutes, what they do. But whenever Dice goes down to where he has lunch, they show up, and he gives them the cold shoulder, because he's a jerk.
Pretty much.
Although they were important in Episode 2 for setting something up, so that's another notch in Episode 2's favor, the Napalm episode.
They kinda did something in Episode 3, but we're not going there.
And that's it for characters. You may have noticed that this was a lot more brief for each character than previous ones.
What's weird, though, I would honestly say that each of these characters are a little bit more complex. They've got more going on for them, more going on around them, than the previous casts we've seen. The problem is, we just haven't really seen it yet.
Yeah, they didn't really make a good first impression on me, as a whole. Jay's nice enough.
He is a man.
Yes, Jay is a man. The rest, I could take or leave, except for... I like Jay and Claire.
I have no arguments there.
Well then, let's move on to Section 4, Presentation.
Oh, goody! The one I really wanted to get to.
Yep. For those of you who are new, Presentation is our catch-all term for everything from music, to animation, to acting, etc.
Also, for all of those who are new, I hate you all and wish you would die.
Oh, Burke, you guy who's not kidding in the slightest.
Not at all. Anyways, Presentation! The interesting thing about this art, much like Escaflowne, as we mentioned earlier, this is a combination of traditional animation and CGI. Unlike Escaflowne, it actually works here. While the traditional animation still stands out, it blends a little bit better. The problem I have with the art is that some of the characters, especially Jay, feel very floaty, at least in the first few episodes. He feels very weightless, which is not exactly a good thing, since he looks like Dolph Lundgren's bigger, uglier brother.
Yeah, one thing I'll say in the art's favor is that none of the characters have the same face.
No, or eyes, for that matter, but I'll get to that in a moment. The animation is very, very flighty. It's very floaty. It's weightless, in a way. And that might be because some of the backgrounds are CGI, while the characters are traditionally animated, which doesn't really mix too well. But they actually make it mix better than most. It's not water and oil like, well, Escaflowne was.
Right, and even the CG, you know, except for Daisuke's ridiculous motorcycle tank, the CGI looks good, I would say.
Yes.
They use it the way most series use it. They use it for things like vehicles that are hard to or more expensive to animate when you have to draw it a billion times.
Yes, or for some of the buildings. Only some of them. The thing about it, though, actually, that's about all I have to say on that subject, though. I will comment on two other things. Jay's hair, he wears a ponytail because he is a man. But it tends to change in length, size, and volume. It can go from having a lot of hair, to having just a few little wisps of hair, to having a moderate amount of hair, depending on what looks best for the scene. It is a very interesting thing.
Seems like one of those dolls where you push a button and the hair grows out.
Apparently.
Plot-relevant hair.
Or cool factor hair, anyways. The other thing is the eyes of the characters. These are some of the most detailed eyes you will ever see, to the point where they barely look human.
Yeah, especially the women. The women almost look like those Japanese robots that are supposed to look human, but not quite.
Basically, Jay has normaler-looking eyes than the rest of the crew.
And Jay's eyes have little square camera things in them that turn when he's scanning something.
Yes.
Also, the size of the women's lips are ridiculous.
Then again, some of the noses are as well, but they're not as bad as Escaflowne, which is an anime I have seen some episodes of. I haven't seen it all yet.
So, you said you had two other things you wanted to talk about. The eyes were one.
The hair was the other.
Okay. Then I have a few thoughts.
Go for it.
Opening and closing themes, very generic rock. My note here is that the opening theme is like if you took Nickelback and Smash Mouth and averaged them together.
Now, I will be fair. In the favor of these two themes, I almost remember a lyric from them, and they didn't annoy me to all get out. I didn't listen to it more than once, but, you know, boy, where is your soul? Something.
The English is very interesting in this one, and I would say that I didn't really like them as much as the ones we've seen before, but they also weren't bad.
I liked them more.
Now, one thing I thought was interesting is that I actually am finding myself commenting on the background music here, because the background music here is terrible.
Yeah, I can't say I recall that.
Let me put it this way. In a movie or TV or, you know, some sort of visual medium, the background music serves to heighten the tension of a scene. Unless the director is going for a particular objective with the music, you shouldn't really notice the music. Like, the most you should say is, oh yeah, that music sounds like X, so they're trying to make me think of X. Like, for our Baka and Test review, where I was like, oh, that background music sounds like Final Fantasy fight music. How appropriate for this scene.
This really could have used some jazz. It had no jazz.
Jazz would have been good. This thing was just distracting. Like, sometimes they had really loud blaring bagpipes for scenes that did not call for really loud blaring bagpipes. You had Middle Eastern type instruments. You had just the background music, whenever they really had it, it was really, really distracting and badly done for what it was supposed to be. And I'm not a music snob, much. But this was just ridiculous. Background music should be in the background, not taking me out of the scene and making me think, why the hell are they playing X kind of music for this scene? That doesn't match the mood at all.
I didn't have much of an issue with the music, mostly because I ignored it. But that does bring us to the voice acting, which is... one thing I'll give it, all of the voices fit the characters, but I'm not exactly sure they know what they're doing with the characters.
Yeah, pardon my cat, she just sneezed. I'm not seeing a date here for when it was... aha. It was licensed and distributed in the U.S. in 2003. So this is an older...
early 2000s dubbing.
Right. So I'll give a little bit of slack for that. Aside from maybe Johnny Young Bosch, I would say this is one to try out in subs, if you can find it.
You can't say that. We haven't seen it subbed.
Okay, fine. This is one where I would say try both. Unfortunately, Netflix doesn't have subs.
Because it was an early 2000 anime.
I would say that a lot of the dialogue here would sound more natural. Well, sound more natural. It would be more natural as written stuff.
Yeah, I'm not too certain about that. But it's stilted in a lot of ways. I can only hope and assume that it would get better as it went along. Jay, all of the voices are correct to a degree. But they really need to work on making them sing. Because while they are correct, they do not feel like the characters are speaking.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Cecil is a pioneer production, so it's, again, not Funimation, so they aren't working with the best cast out there to start with, and at that date.
However, I can't give them too much slack because Cowboy Bebop came out with possibly one of the best dubs ever made.
Right, around the same time.
Yes. So, this is only average.
Yep.
It could have been above average if they actually got the actors to be the characters, for lack of a better term.
Johnny Young Bosch was pretty believable as Claire.
Yes, this is not your traditional Johnny Young Bosch role, and you would not probably recognize him right off the bat. It was very well done.
So kudos, Johnny Young Bosch. You're Johnny Young-tastic.
No, 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 no.
Oh, all right, fine, Emperor Palpatine. You were saying?
No. No. Anyways, away from that, Heat Guy J himself has a voice that is a man. And that is my final thoughts.
Yeah, and I think that's about all I can come up with for presentation. So, point five, final thoughts. Would you recommend this show to someone, Burke?
I would, but only with provisions, like with Nanako. They have to want something that's slower paced, something that's in this vein. Honestly, the show is very comparable to Nanako in its style. It's just that it's a different genre. So the same rules apply with suggesting it.
Yeah. Now, see, one thing I'll admit is that this sort of cyberpunk thing isn't usually my genre. Like, for instance, I didn't really like Ghost in the Shell. And this show reminds me a lot of that.
And I never saw it, so...
If you liked Ghost in the Shell standalone complex, this doesn't have as much philosophical stuff to it as of episode 3. But it has a similar sort of feel. The characters aren't particularly warm and inviting, and I don't really feel like I know a lot of them yet, aside from Dice being a asshole. But the...
Douche Master Supreme.
Yes, exactly. Douche Master Supreme. That sounds like a Taco Bell product. Anyway,
I hope not.
Think outside the bun. Ugh.
Why would you?
So, now, you know, one thing I felt like we sort of glossed over. The fight scenes, when there are fight scenes, are really cool.
Generally, yes. The animation flows well.
Well, if you like cyberpunk, and you like cool robot action scenes, and you can deal with a main character who is kind of a jerk, then go ahead, give this a shot. I personally don't intend to ever watch any of it ever again. My notes were really, really negative.
I may watch some more later, but... it's just disappointing.
Yeah, that's a good term for it. This is the first one we really thought was going to be good, and it really undershot our expectations.
A lot. Which means, apparently, the next one we're going to have to review... What is the next one we're going to have to review? As an excellent segue!
Yes. Well, next time, at the request of our friend Bree, we'll be reviewing Disney-licensed movie Ponyo, which... Miyazaki, yep. I forget whether Ponyo won an Academy Award. That's research for next time. So, we'll finally be reviewing some things that people outside the anime community have a shot of having heard of.
Well, let's be fair, it's not like much of what we've reviewed has been heard of.
Well, exactly. You're guaranteed for anyone who's really in the anime community to at least know what Ponyo is.
Yes. So then, do we have an amusing skit to end things on?
No.
Then I'm just gonna shoot you in the head now. Goodbye.
Because you're a man.
No. Because I hate you.